Winter Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Thank you for empowering me.
Here's what I think is going on.
I think you're a hoot and a half.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
I just love your show.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are really smart.
I am sensitive and understanding and nurturing.
Your show to me is like a comedy information show.
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I don't know what to do on this new book. They want me to write a book. Autobiography. My Life of Meekness. That was part of my Humility Trilogy series. Humility for Fun and Profit. Advanced Humility. Take Pride in Your Humility. Got a number of those. Not doing too well. Got to try to get them put way out front there so everybody can see him. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. This is E-Person Monday, where we make an attempt to at least address some of the many E-Persons that we get for this program. I think it's probably pretty safe to say as many E-Persons as calls. Of course, when you only get one call per program, it doesn't take a whole lot to equal out E-Persons and calls. I'll get to those in a second. What we try to do with the E-Persons is I am very averse to just reading it and then saying, well, here's what I think. I want to analyze it, dissect it, oftentimes read between the typewritten lines to know what is unspoken, unwritten. This came from the Coming Home Network, Mark Grody's newsletter, coming from Matt Swain, who is the communications coordinator for the Coming Home Network. We get an awful lot of on-fire converts, very much so. These are folks who, for various reasons, want to understand more about what Christ is asking of them, learn more about what the early Christians believed. They want to understand and to accept and embrace an awful lot of what the Catholic Church has been teaching for a long time. And as a result, we get very zestful, rejuvenating to the church converts. So this is 10 signs that you might be a Catholic convert. Number one. If you're used to having your robust voice drowned out during hymns, but you now find that it sticks out like a sore thumb at Mass, you might be a convert. Number two, if you've ever pronounced a saint's name or theological concept wrong because you've only ever read it in a book and you've never heard it pronounced out loud, you might be a convert. Number three, if you only recently realized that headlines like Trinity Crushes Aquinas or St. Ignatius Comes Back to Stun Cardinal Gibbons are actually referring to football teams, you might be a convert. Number four, if the hardest part about planning a weekend trip to visit family is figuring out how and when you're going to get to Mass, you could be a convert. Number five, if you're used to sermons that last 45 minutes and a 10-minute homily makes you wonder if you're missing something, you could be a convert. And one of the problems with those 10-minute homilies, you know, is you get people looking at their watches because they're saying things like, hey, come on, come on, come on, the breakfast buffet, we'll have to pay the lunch price, it's $2 more, I hate to have to leave right after communion. Number six, if you're at a parish festival or a fish fry, and you're unnerved by the fact that they're selling beer on church property, you could be a convert. Number 7, I like this one. If you've ever contested the lightness of your penance with your confessor, you might be a convert. Number 8, even though you know the Mass is deeply scriptural, it still bothers you that nobody brings their Bible to church. You could be a convert. And I've seen this one, number 9. If you see a priest or a nun in the grocery store, you get a little starstruck and you're tempted to ask for their autograph. You could be a convert. And then this is my particular favorite, number 10. If people think that you are super holy, when really you just happen to have read a lot of books, you might be a convert. Matt, if you made those up, that's pretty good. Speaking of, some weeks ago, I was out of state visiting my son and his wife who had a little baby. We went to a local mass, and there was a missionary priest there from India speaking about the poverty, the incredible poverty in his diocese. The lack of pretty much everything, food, shelter, medicine, education, materials in their parish church. They sat on the floor. They didn't have benches. They sat on the floor. All kinds of holes in the roof. No transportation, really, for the priest. And so he made his appeal. We were sitting toward the back. Sadly, I expected this, but it still pretty much, okay, it pretty much brought me to tears. Oh, yeah, Dr. Ray, you're so sensitive and so holy. Nah, it has nothing to do with it. You know the denomination, the number one most common denomination in that very scarcely filled basket. Were ones. There's a couple fives. Broke my heart. I looked around me at the folks there, and no doubt in my mind, none whatsoever, that pretty much everybody there could have easily given $20. They would have even felt it. They could have given 100 ones. Our Lord talked more about sharing and giving in Scripture than just about anything else in terms of our conduct as his followers. I get around the country a lot, different speaking engagements, and not unusually, I will be at a mass where there is a missionary appeal. Sometimes it's a retired sister asking for help for those sisters who are now retired and elderly. And obviously, they have no retirement accounts, not on Social Security, given their lives to us. And I see the next week sometimes what was given. Breaks my heart. Not that I look at all of us and say, you're all wretches, you're all terrible people. No, no, that's not it. I wonder what it is that we have. Is there something about material plenty that makes you not think about giving more than a buck or five? Years ago, my mom was involved at the parish, and she always counted the collection. My mom wouldn't take a nickel out of that collection and put it in her pocket. So they got people like my mom to count the collection. I say, hey, Ma, how often do you get a 20 in there? She looked at me like I had four heads. She laughed. So, well, she kind of laughed. She answered the question by laughing. We have so much. We have absolutely so much. We live like kings. Even our poorest in our country, by world standards, are off the charts. The average person in our country below the poverty line has air conditioning. They live in twice the square footage of the average European. They own cars. They all have cell phones and TVs. That's the poverty level in our country. If there is material poverty, oftentimes it's because there's behavioral, spiritual poverty. The parents don't take care of the kids. They could. So I think about this, and I thought about our Lord keeps telling us, give, be generous. And I look at it and think, what has happened to so many of us that we just, here's $2. I'm feeling pretty generous today for the missions. Here's $5. My wife brought up a good point. She did say, Ray, a lot of people don't carry cash with them. A lot of times women do not bring their purses into church. Okay, that's a good point. If it were me, I would probably say next week after the missionary priest has given the talk, we will take the second collection so everybody will know. Oh, Dr. Ray, people give on impulse. Well, if they're going to give on impulse $1, I'd rather take my chances for next week that they bring in something a little more. That is my sermon for the day. I'll be right back.
You are the best thing that has ever happened to people.
Wow.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I've got a few things here and there that I've learned along the way, and I like to do. Plus, I'm always studying history, so I try to bring in some of the historical perspective, especially at a time in our history when people don't know much history anymore.
Open Line with Father Mitch Pacwa, Wednesday afternoon, 3 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, I'm Al Cresta. Thousands of poor Guatemalan families lost everything when Volcano Fuego's eruption wiped out their villages. You can restore hope to these grieving families by supporting Cross Catholic Outreach's efforts to build simple but sturdy replacement homes in a new volcano-safe zone. The Catholic Church is strongest when it stands together. Call 866-765-4280. That's 866-765-4280. Or by visiting crosscatholic.org/volcano.
Countless Catholics settling for a life of faith that begins and ends with the obligatory Sunday Mass. While essential, giving just 1 hour of our lives to God can never satisfy our deep longing for a purposeful, joy-filled life. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and in my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I get real about what it takes for us to live as a Catholic every day of the week. You can purchase Beyond Sunday and the study guide at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
My producer man, Andrew Krucek over there in Ann Arbor, said, well, you succeeded. You did it. You made a lot of people feel bad. You know what I said? I said, good. Okay. This is from Nellie. I'm not wanting this to end up. Okay. Oh, boy. I'm going to make this somewhat anonymous for Nellie here. She's a therapist. She's worked with trauma. She says, I was wondering how you deal with domestic violence situations in therapy. Well, Nellie, I'm going to tell you. I'm at a point in my career where I can screen what kinds of problems I take. Domestic violence situations tend to be either court-ordered or very complex. Long history of turbulence, chaos, all kinds of troublesome and pathological circumstances. As a result, I pretty much screen them out. And when I don't, it's because they cropped up after the original presenting problem was presented to me. I accepted the case, and then as we started to peel back the layers of the onion, this stuff came out. She says, I have a client who is part of a traditional Catholic community. I never counsel for divorce, but always for safety. That is church teaching, essentially. You are not obliged to stay in circumstances where your safety is at risk or the safety of the children. Not only physical violence, but perhaps even financial ruination. Okay, the church has something called separation of bed and board, and with the hopes that there would be some kind of reconciliation. But for the meantime, you got to get out of the situation. I let God and their spiritual directors deal with if they should separate or divorce. In one case, I had a patient telling her that she should, quote, take the abuse and offer it up as a sacrifice. Her other adult son have imitated what their father has done and have been verbally and at times physically aggressive with her. Presently, she has a restraining order against her husband, though he lives in the back house. Apparently, there's another house on the land. She tells me she does not want her son to turn out like the rest, and so she refuses to comply with the advice she received. In other words, the priest told her, stay there, take the abuse. She refused. But she is very conflicted. She believes she is disobeying the church. What's my dilemma, Dr. Ray? Mainly, I don't want to go against a priest. She says in quotes, that's a personal thing, I know. However, she states that she has been told that this is church teaching. It's not. Okay, this is this priest's guidance, this priest's opinion. But she needs to understand, she can go to the catechism, that this is not the church's teaching. This is his particular perspective on what she should be doing. I found a statement by the USCCB that states the contrary, but I'm not sure where to look. The rest of her friends are telling her the same thing. In other words, take the abuse, offer it up. The church would not expect her to do that. It would hope for reconciliation at some point, either through counseling or through the passage of time or through change of hearts, working of the Holy Spirit. But they wouldn't tell her to stay in a dangerous situation, especially with the kid, the adult kid who's doing the same thing. In the meantime, the husband has filed for a legal separation. I should say that I have verified that his actions have been very abusive toward her, toward collateral information from others, letters, and texts he has sent, as well as a video. All right. So what our writer is saying is this is just not my opinion as I have heard this. I have evidence that this is the way it is. Any thoughts on this? It would help me a great deal. Nellie, the thoughts are not mine. The thoughts are reflective of essentially what the church would teach. All right. From Amanda. Hi, Dr. Ray. Now, I'm starting to think that the lady who manages my website, Katie, there's a contact page. And on the contact page down at the bottom, it says questions or comments. And that's where the people put their email.